For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Okay. Well, why all this stuff about being obedient to the powers that be? Right? Because God is, well, because Jesus is the Lord. He says again, I am with you unto the end of the age. Right? Do you want the body of Christ to be persecuted beyond belief? Right? Since we are in a dead state, and we are to be in a dead state, we are also to live in this world as peaceably as we can, to obey the authorities to the extent that we can without violating our Christian ethics. If we embody the true Christian ethics of loving one another, of being peaceable, of loving our enemies, how better to show that than to live in and amongst our enemies, if you will, in peace, to be an example of love, to be respectful, so that there's nothing that they can say against Christians during the interim time, and that the times and the governments and everything come along according as God has planned them, that all of the secular and profane stuff in the world, the entire creature, in other words, as Paul speaks of, groaneth, okay? It isn't as if God approves of everything they do, right? But again, if there's dirty work to do, you get a dirty person, you know, out there to do it, right? It still is of God's choosing, right? He chose Pharaoh, and he hardened his heart, right? Why? So that his glory might be made, you know, known. And the same with all leaders, right? And the same with all governments. You know, he doesn't want us to be thought of as troublemakers and stuff. I mean, it happened anyway. They Rome burned down, and they blame it on the Christians, right? And the Christians were maligned and everything, and most of that was completely undeserved. But again, all of that evil is going to be visited upon them because that he doesn't want us to take that vengeance ourselves. He wants to do it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So, again, if you do that which is evil, be afraid, because these people do have the power on this earth anyway to avenge evil. So, again, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake, because, again, you don't want to take God's job and pursue vengeance on your own, right? Paul himself worked within the law, right? He said, you know, he appealed to Caesar, for example. You know, and it was he appealed to his Roman citizenship, right? So he took in a sense full part in his citizenship, which he had as a Roman. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, this is what Jesus taught. When he says, thou shalt not commit adultery, well, James uses the term adultery as in terms of friendship with the world. Again, in Revelation, you see Jezebel and the people that love Jezebel in this world, the great whore of Babylon or whatever, they get in bed with her, in a sense, and fornicate with her. And God kills her children with death. That is to say, death reigns over them through the church age, right? So again, there are stumbling blocks laid for the church. Thou shalt not kill. Figuratively speaking, to take from Christ's level and deliberately subvert that Christ level meaning, that is the life, of the scriptures, the spirit of the scriptures, that direct experience of God and his life and his truth, and kill it. Well, in a figurative sense, that's what the church did by killing the mystery, right? Thou shalt not steal. Again, Jude was reading the book of Enoch, was reading the Assumption of Moses. Paul was reading the life of Adam and Eve. Paul was reading the Wisdom of Solomon. Most of those books basically were stolen from us, the mystery, right? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Again, is it loving to lie? You know, is it loving to know things and then not to share them, right? For example, Paul using the Wisdom of Solomon here, for example, but not share that with the people, knowing that the Book of Enoch is quoted in Jude, and to pretend like it isn't, that's bearing false witness. Again, thou shalt not covet. Again, do you want your church to have a big screen on it? You know what I'm saying? Do you want to have all kinds of facilities and everything just because, you know, the church across the way has stuff, you know, etc. I mean, do we do these kinds of things? Yeah. Does it mean that we're not loving? Well, we're not walking in love if we're doing all those things. If we're committing adultery with the world, if we're killing the prophets, if you will, stealing the books that they were reading, right? Bearing false witness about them, you know, because we want to be like the other churches or whatever. You know, this is, if there be any other commandment, is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, right? Getting over yourself, transcending yourself, losing yourself in order to find yourself, right? How can you love God whom you have not seen when you don't love your neighbor whom you have seen, right? It says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law, right? Why was the law added? The law was added because of transgressions. In other words, everything that was heavenly was couched in fleshly laws, both to keep us in line, because after the flesh, because we follow the flesh, right? We have to have these in the guise, if you will, of rules to follow, so that we follow these rules blindly, if you will, thinking that through them and by them we have the mystery, when in fact the mystery is arrived at through revelation by the Father. It is arrived at through spiritual intuition, not that any man could teach you or would teach you, at least not until the end. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Okay, so when he says that salvation is nearer than when we believed, right, in the ultimate sense, to those of us who are quote-unquote the Romans, if you will, or the Gentiles, if you will, at the end of time, at the end of the age, it is high time for us to wake out of our sleep, out of our slumber, because our salvation is nearer than when they believed, right? They believed 2,000 years ago, and now we believe our salvation is nearer. The night is far spent. The day is at hand, okay? Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not rioting, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Why? Because people are always going to be, he defines them as weak in the faith. If you are doubtful, for example, according to this statement, you're weak in the faith. If you're a disputer, you're weak in the faith. You see people questioning stuff, it shows faith, a weakness in their faith. Because God has a perfect will. He just spoke about it, the good and perfect will of God. You have to see God as perfect or you're just not going to see it, right? So again, doubtful disputations, people like, oh, I don't believe this, I don't believe that, right? Well, you know, and they're gonna dispute, right? Well, don't dispute, just affirm, just show, right? Because the answer's always there. The answers are there, right? And anyone who's disputing or whatever just isn't seeing it, or just isn't accepting it, or frankly doesn't like it. And you know, again, chambering and wantonness, right? Wanting the things of this world, in other words, being in bed with this world in a spiritual sense. I mean, of course, this stuff means it on the fleshly level, don't get me wrong, but that's not the only level on which this stuff has meaning. In strife and in envying, right? But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make provision, not provision for the flesh, to fulfill the lusts thereof. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. And in all this, there's almost a sort of subtle rebuke against the one that is weak. Although he does it in mercy, he says, for one believeth that he may eat all things, and another, who is weak, eateth herbs. He doesn't just simply say, you know, one believe that he may eat all things, and another eateth herbs, right? He says, who is weak? He describes him as weak, right? So it says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, right? Don't look upon his weakness and say, oh, you're a terrible person. Again, if the church doesn't want to eat, if you will, it doesn't want to partake of these books, okay, doesn't mean you can be all mean to them and hate them and everything. I mean, think about what that does to you. You know, hatred, anger, bitterness, all that eats away at you anyway, right? So it's not good for you, first of all. And it certainly isn't good for them, you know, to rub their noses in it. You know, God does say he wants to provoke them to jealousy, right? But so that they might repent, not so that they could be shown up and made to look like fools or idiots, you know, not that you should, you know, be cruel and mean to somebody just because, you know, they're stuck in a paradigm and their faith is weak, right? That's not Christian. That's not showing love, right? And so, again, despising anyone is not showing them love. You have to love even your enemies, right? And not to judge, right? Because again, all of us have walked in ignorance, and who are any of us to judge? And again, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. So in other words, if he is held up by God, right, that means that God has taken steps to ensure that he doesn't fall utterly, but that he can be held up. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Right? Again, there are differences in people and their beliefs. You have to be able to tolerate those things and to understand that what you know, and what they know, and you understand as you understand, and they understand as they understand. And you know, there may be things you don't understand. There may be things I don't understand. So don't be all haughty and arrogant and condescending to somebody just because they don't understand things the way you do, right? But we are to show love towards one another. It says, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. So all things are done to the glory of God if they are persuaded in their own minds. Again, because in a certain subjective sense, the point is that they are trying to worship God in the subjective sense, even though they may be objectively wrong. In other words, their faith might indeed be weak on a subjective sense. They're basically decent people. And they're doing it or not doing it based on their own conception or what, you know. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Again, the death of the church is not merely the death of the church. It's the death of all mystery. And those who live or whatever, who have this knowledge, aren't doing it merely for themselves, but for the sake of the dead. To bring life to the dead, if you will. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Again, there is that Christ, the living level, and then there is the Jesus. That is to say, the death, if you will, of the mystery, the falling from grace, down to the Christ Jesus level. It says, whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's, right? He's saying either way, right? So if people are going to misunderstand, if people are going to be weak, if they're not going to touch these books, this herbs, this meats, this whatever, if they're not going to do it, fine. Let them do what they're going to do, because it's going to happen anyway. And God has made allowances for this, right? Because whether we live, the body, corporately, or whether we die, whether we baptized into his death, right? Right? We are the Lord's. So there's no difference between the Gentile and the Jew. So again, the Gentile shouldn't be thinking themselves better than the Jew, right? Any more than the Jew should be thinking themselves any better than the Gentile, because all of us have been written into this drama here. God has made allowances for all people so that no one would boast or could boast legitimately, but that all glory would belong to God, because God has done this according to his wisdom and knowledge, as it says. It says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and living. Again, those of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. And so when he arises, again, we are in his life. Right? So he is God both of the dead, spiritually speaking, and the living, spiritually speaking, as well as on the physical level. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. There's not going to be any denying it. So, you know, no point in judging, right? You're going to be judged as you judge others. So try not to judge other people too harshly. If you're forgiving, then God will be forgiving towards you. I mean, keep in mind how you're going to be judged. If you're really harsh, God is going to judge you harshly. You know, and you don't really want to be in that position. So try to, you know, show a little humility, you know, in letting God do things his own way, on his own terms, and not your way and on your terms. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us therefore not judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Again, just as what you do to the Lord, what you do to the Lord, right? To you that esteem something to be unclean, to you it is unclean. You know, even though it's all symbols, even though it's all parables, even though it's all patterns, even though it's all codes, if you want to reify it, if you want to look at it in terms of a thing, right, that you can or can't do or whatever, it's all a function of how you believe it, right? It says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Why? Because you're doing it for your own selfish reasons. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Again, meat as opposed to milk, right? Paul has given us milk because we were not ready for meat, right? Meaning that we were fed on the level of an infant, of a child, rather than as an adult, right? Because there are both meanings there. Those for those of lesser understanding who can only take the milk, and those of a higher understanding who can take the meat. Right, but if you are of that higher understanding and your brother is not, right, and you, because of their weakness of faith, because of their inability, if you will, to process this information for whatever reason, right, then why destroy this person? You know, the day is going to reveal the truth, right? It will be revealed in time. You don't have to force the issue. It will happen. God will and can. Make provision. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. So this is why he doesn't go ahead and fight about these books. This is why the Christian the writers of the New Testament aren't adamant about it. They affirm these things, even though they know people will abstain from these things. Because again, they don't, Paul says, I speak to you only of things that you accept, right? Because to do so would be to place a stumbling block before them, right? Better that they should stumble over it in ignorance than to do it deliberately and knowingly. It says, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable of God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. In other words, who can't believe this stuff. Who forces it upon someone who can't believe this. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine. Again, as I've explained before, when Jesus turned water into wine, there were six stone pots representing the 6,000 years filled with water. The water is the word. The water then is turned into wine in the sense that the nature of the word, in a sense, changes and transfers from water to wine in the sense that the wine represents that higher level meaning, because it is good. It is better than, you know, the wine that has been that other men, in other words, would produce, right? And that it is saved for the last, right? It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or made weak. So again, knowing the Christ level meaning, Paul still says, look, even though you know all this stuff, it is better not to cause your brother to stumble over this stuff, you know, to make allowances, if you will, to not eat the flesh or drink the wine or whatever of this knowledge, if it's going to cause your brother to stumble, right? Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, these things are hard to understand, even as it says in Peter, right? So if they lack the faith to understand them, right, then they are, in a sense, damned. They're doomed, right? Because you created in them an inner conflict. And you're not supposed to be conflicted. You know, that's why he's saying, if the guy eats herbs, let him eat herbs, even though he's weak, right? Because at least he's not conflicted. If he observes the day, or he doesn't observe the day, in his mind, let him not be conflicted. Don't leave a stumbling block for him, because why should his soul struggle in agony? Why should his soul suffer all these doubts and questions, right? That's not being charitable. You know, that is creating trouble and troubling his spirit, which is not good to do. It says, when we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let's not force the issue, right? We know their infirmities. We know their weakness of faith. And this is why we're sacrificing ourselves. We are going to bear their infirmities for them. In parenthetically, through Christ Jesus, through that flesh level meaning, right? Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Because all these things are in the scriptures, and through that comfort of knowing that, they understand the corresponding hope because of the promise that is entailed by that higher level meaning. If people are only seeing it down here and you know it's on both levels, then you have comfort in that, and you are patient. You're willing to wait on that because you understand it as a mechanism for the delivery of that higher meaning, and you have hope and patience, if you will, that it will come to happen. It will come to its fruition. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Again, letting people believe one way instead of your way, maybe even being wrong instead of right, maybe even having weakness of faith. Be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. In other words, according to the truth concealed in the flesh, the Christ hidden in the Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So in other words, be in Christ Jesus like-minded. Accept the fact that the heavenly is going to be couched in the flesh, in other words, from Christ to Jesus, Christ hidden away in Jesus, the spiritual hidden away in the flesh, that ye may be with one mind, and that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? That is to say, going from the fleshly level again to the higher level. That's the one thing, with one mind and one mouth, because it's all there in the scriptures. And so it can be agreed upon, right? Understanding that all of this other stuff, it makes no difference one way or the other, because it's all going to be to the glory of the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Going from the lower level to the higher level. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Again, Jesus Christ is used here because it corresponds to the confirmation of the promises. So again, the confirmation is to go from the Jesus or the flesh level of the scriptures to the Christ level. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Again, that is going, coming up from the flesh to the level of the spirit. That is God's mercy. For this cause, I will confess thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. The harmony there that exists between the Gentiles and the true Israel, his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and loud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Again, there is this conversion, if you will, of the world, of the Gentiles, of those which are without. They will come to see. He will be found of them that sought him not. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So, in other words, that in peace And in believing, right, what he is saying and understanding this delivers hope, and it will be brought about through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Now here he's speaking to those who have this knowledge and who are of this goodness, who are able to admonish one another against these false teachings or whatever. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God. Well, the grace, which is the Christ level meaning, which is given to Paul of God, which he received from God, flesh and blood did not reveal it to him. He did not consult with flesh and blood. He went into Arabia for 3 years after having learned this, right? Again, it's 3,000 years after Paul until, you know, the eighth day when there is no more heaven and earth. as putting you in mind. Why? Because it's a function of remembrance. It's a function of seeing it in retrospect. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Again, from the flesh to the spirit level, to those who are outside. Ministering the gospel of God, that is to say, that which the Father reveals, as opposed to what flesh and blood reveals, which is the gospel in a sense of man. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Again, the judgment begins at the church. Why? Because it's brought to the church. It doesn't come from within it. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. Again, the things that pertain to God as opposed to the things which pertain to men, which is the level of the flesh, again, contrasted with the level of the Spirit, the Christ level versus Jesus level. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. Again, what Christ has wrought through him is that higher level meaning, right? The spiritual level has wrought through him, not the fleshly level, although it works through his flesh. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. Again, the Christ level meaning. So that from Jerusalem, in a sense, the city of God, round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Right? He's not building on somebody else's foundation. He's building upon his own foundation. Right? But obliquely, he's speaking here of the Gentiles. Right? Because he's not building on the foundation of men and their churches or whatever. He's building it on the foundation of his own making, or that which God has given to him through grace. It says, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Again, he's not speaking of people within the church. He's not speaking of people within the synagogues. He's speaking of those who are without. It says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Why? Well, because, again, this is 2,000 years down the road from his writing of this letter. And he has been much hindered. And who has hindered him? Well, it's been the church that has hindered him. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, what does he mean he has no place in these parts? Why? Because he's been reduced. Again, men take Paul and they twist him through their ignorance to their own destruction. And he has no place within them anymore. His place is then with the Gentiles. And he has a great desire those many years, those 2,000 years in other words, to come unto us. That is to say, to see us face to face, as opposed to through a mirror darkly or through glass darkly. And to be brought on my way thitherward, having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain. And the way that Clement speaks of it is that he made his journey to the furthest extent of the West. And again, the sun sets in the West, so again, that is spiritually speaking the end of time, because it rises in the east, which corresponds to the beginning, early time, like eastward in Eden, for example, to the west, which is where the sun sets. That's the end, if you will, of the day, right? So that correspondingly, parabolically symbolizes whenever he makes his journey into Spain, that is going from Jerusalem, which is in the east, to Spain, which is in the west, which is to say, across time, if you will, across the age. I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Again, he's going from there to Spain, and then what's this contribution? Well, in the spiritual sense, the contribution is, well, what is Paul contributing to us? He's given us this gift, this dispensation, this knowledge, that which has been entrusted to him, this higher level meaning, the Christ. This is the true gift, right? And they, which are at Jerusalem, are in a sense poor. It has pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partaker of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Again, because they have received the spiritual message, in other words, of the Jews, if you will, the poor saints, if you will, that are in Jerusalem, and they have been partakers of their spiritual things. Again, he was found of those who weren't looking for him, right? Then their duty, their function, in other words, is also to minister to them in carnal things, right? Because again, it's the church, it's the churches that have all the money and have all the wealth, right? But they're poor in spirit, right? And in a sense, the Gentiles have all the those who are without then have this ability to take this knowledge and apply it to what the church sees carnally, right? And to, in a sense, light it up for them and to show them the truth, right? To give them that fruit. It says, when therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. Again, the furthest extent of the West, as Clement puts it. Now, I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. And that is to say, the acceptance of his truth, or his gift, the fruit that he has to offer them, the wealth that he has to offer to the poor, which are at Jerusalem. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Again, Paul, seeing Paul again afresh, if you will, having a renewal, if you will, right? The fruit, the gift, right? Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. There are people, in other words, who are assisting him in his message of letting the higher level remain couched in the fleshly level for the recovery of that mystery on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, who have for my life laid down their own necks again in Christ Jesus, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Again, it's through that mechanism of Christ Jesus that the Gentiles are given this spiritual fruit, this knowledge of Jesus Christ. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners. Again, prisoners in the sense that they are misunderstood or whatever, that they are held back in the metaphysical sense by the chains of men, by the imprisonment, if you will, of men, because they're, you know, obviously imprisonment is a function of men and their actions and their decisions, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved, in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helpers in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. A lot of laborers here. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Again, he's speaking to us across time here. Again, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Right? In other words, this hasn't happened yet, so in a sense, it pertains only to those at the end of time. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my workfellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. Again, Tertius means like a third party, and Quartus means like, you know, fourth party or something, right? He's got like number three and number four guy here. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Again, his gospel is speaking on the level of the Christ level of teaching, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, again, the higher level meaning, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God, only wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.